This is the Value Investor Podcast with Tracy Reinick. All things value, all the time.
Welcome back, value investors. Now, there's been a turn of events for us value people this summer, actually. So we went from kind of being despondent earlier in the summer as all the growth stocks galloped to new all-time highs, and the value stocks have been lagging, and it was getting harder to find some value. And then things started to change a bit in a couple sectors. And now I feel a little giddy about some of the industries here because there's been at least three different industries that have taken a nosedive over the summer and are now providing some interesting value opportunities for us. Now, I've covered two of them in recent weeks, and I urge you to check out those two podcasts. The first one was on the restaurant stocks, and that was the one where I debated whether or not they were a value or a value trap. And I also brought up the sell-off in Chipotle in that podcast. And it turns out that that was pretty good timing because since that podcast, those shares have continued to sink. They're at four-year lows now. The PE, the forward PE, got down to about 27. It was a little cheaper based on next year's estimates, but none of us know if next year is going to be holding or not. So I've been watching it pretty closely. I've been debating people on Stock Twits about it. And I've actually been defending it to some growth investors. All the growth people are doom and gloom and ejecting out of there now, which is why it keeps falling. So it's not quite a value stock yet by our normal fundamentals. It's a value based on its historic trading levels, I guess I should say, based on what it normally has been trading at over, say, about the last 10 years, has been much higher on a PE basis than what it is at right now. But obviously, a lot of the growth investors are believing that the growth is not completely over there, but definitely not going to be as strong as what we saw in the past. So, of course, when stocks are hated, this is an opportunity for us. So keep an eye still on that CMG, is the ticker there, because some of those restaurant stocks could get a little bit interesting if this weakness remains going into the end of the year here. And then the second industry that I covered was the oil EMPs. I've actually done two podcasts this year on this area and where the insiders have been buying because they bought early in the summer and then they just bought again in August. So many of those are hitting 52-week lows again and they're really hated out there. No one on Stock Twits even wants to talk about them, let alone debate me on whether or not there's value there. So when we see this as value investors, we need to take a look. Remember with those, and I warn people in that podcast to be sure to check out fundamentals with all these companies, because in that podcast, I just went over where the insiders were buying. So be sure to do your research when you're looking at any of these oil companies as well. And now we're on to the third industry, which I know I promised in the last podcast that I would cover. And so here it is, and it is on the retailers. Yes, I know. The retailers are, I would say, more hated than any of these other areas I just talked about, even more than the energy. With energy, they're not really hated. Everyone's just ignoring them. They just don't care anymore. No one's posting anything on Stock Twits about them. If you say you're buying them, you get yawns. But here with retail, it's still really hated. People want to argue with you why you shouldn't be in there. They're definitely being shorted en masse now. And of course, that's when we get interested. And as you know, the big story with the retailers is that Amazon will buy everything and we will only shop from Amazon. That will be the future of all of us. And maybe if you're in China, it will be like JD.com and Alibaba, but this is the future. But as we all know, that's not going to be true. While, of course, online shopping has been a disruptive force, as Jeff Bezos predicted in the 1990s, and a lot of the retailers are still, yes, 20 years on, adjusting to online retail and what it means for their businesses, humans, you know, we're basically social creatures and shopping is emotional and it's real social. We like to go to the stores. We want to talk to the salespeople. We like to feel the products. And yes, we even are going to Best Buy and actually buying stuff from Best Buy. Everyone thought, remember them, that they were going to go under, that Amazon was going to destroy them, that they were just the showcase for Amazon and they've turned it around. Competition tends to do that. You survive or die. So they're surviving, but we like to shop as an experience. And we have to look at retailers that make us feel things, that make us want to go into their stores, leave our couches, go and have that social experience. And some of those will still be winners. So it's not going to be all Amazon. So in the summer of retail panic, I like to say many of these stocks have sold off. Some of them are dirt cheap now. And so it's time to dive in and see who is, you know, the cheapest stocks on a PE level and what's actually going on there. So I ran a screen with the Zacks rank of 1, 2, and 3. So I did want the better Zacks rank. I wanted, you know, at least stable earnings estimates. If not, if I could get it, rising earning estimates. That's hard to get in retail, but some of them are doing it. And I'm sticking away from the 4s and 5s where the analysts are still cutting the estimates there. Doesn't mean you shouldn't be looking at some of those, but for this particular screen, I stayed away from those. And then I had this goal of, oh, I was going to screen by industry. Oh, I'll do the retail home furnishers. I'll do the apparel guys, of course. I'll do the department stores. And then no, I just decided to do the entire retail sector. So I searched for PEs under 10 because I did want it dirt cheap. So that is very cheap compared to the overall market, which is still trading around 18 or 19 times the S&P 500. It's still a little bit pricey up there. So anything under 10 is dirt cheap with that forward PE. And I managed to get about 17 stocks when I did this screen. Of course, some in this retail category will include like the auto retailers. So I'm not going to look at them because that's not really what, you know, we want to discuss. We want to talk about the ones at the shopping mall, the ones selling apparel and accessories and shoes and all these things. So I picked out 4 of the real cheap ones here to talk about and kind of see what's going on with them. So the first one was Bed Bath & Beyond. That ticker is BBBY. They have a P of just 6.9. They're Zacks rank number 2, so they do have a decent rank there. But I'm not a big fan of the Bed Bath & Beyond. Obviously, no one else is either. The shares, they're down about 31% so far year to date. That's why you get that 6.9. But if anyone can be Amazoned, I feel it's Bed Bath & Beyond. I mean, we all know when we go to shop there, most of the things I can buy at Bed Bath & Beyond, I can also buy on Amazon or other online. And I don't really feel an emotional experience when I go to Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know about you, but other than, you know, I might buy some weird gadget I never thought I would buy. But other than that, Bed Bath & Beyond, that's a real struggle here. So I'm not a big fan of it, even at this cheap level. And the second stock is Pier 1. This is on the furniture side. They are a 3 and their PE is 8.7. Those shares are also down big. They've been struggling for a couple of years on the furniture. They have made an adjustment over to the online. So a lot of their sales are going online now and, you know, that you can ship to the store and pick it up or you can ship to your home. They have like white glove shipping treatment now. But still, some of these home retailers are struggling a little bit. They have shut down some stores, some underperforming stores. But those shares are down about 50% here year to date. They went from 8 to 4. I think they were at 2 at one point. So they did go from the 2 to the 8 and now back down again. So they're pretty cheap. Not my favorite name in the furnishings either here. And then let's take a look at a few department stores because, yes, these have gone dirt cheap too. Macy's, ticker M, that is trading with a P of just 6.3 now. Wow, like really cheap. It also has a big dividend yield now, over 7%. Unclear if that dividend is safe, but so far I haven't heard anything that they're cutting it. You know, shares are down pretty good. Let me see, down 41% year to date there. That's why I got all these juicy fundamentals here. Now, Macy's, of course, this is one I debate with people on all the time. Will they survive? They also own Bloomingdale's, don't forget. They have made a big push in online. They are closing some stores out in more what I consider their regional mall areas. Big urban stores are, you know, operating still. So Macy's, you have to decide, can they get it together? Will they survive or die? That's something you have to watch with them. The fourth company is JCPenney, ticker JCP. We all know this story. Shares are now at 42-year lows. Yes, 1970s. You have to go back. This is not one you want to buy and hold. No, from that point on. But shares now trading at 8.9 times. So pretty cheap here. Now, I do encourage everyone when looking at all of these to look for retailers that are profitable or who have a plan to be profitable. Remember a couple of years ago, JCPenney was not profitable, but it did put the plan in place when it got their new CEO that they were going to turn it around. They have gone back into the green. So that's why all four of these companies have PE ratios, because they are expected to have earnings this year. So you need that to get the PE. So that's something to keep in mind. Also look at the growth rates, like Pier 1, for instance, is supposed to grow earnings by 9% this year, but sales growth of just 1%. So you have to look at that. Look at the debt levels with any of these chains. Some of them have real heavy debt levels, and when things get tight, could cause some real issues. So you have to find out how much do they have and when is it coming due. Some of these, you know, you look at them and you think maybe they're dirt cheap for a reason. So something I watch with all companies now, especially these ones in the real downtrodden areas like we did with the oil EMPs, is where are the insiders buying? And I thought this when JCPenney reported their earnings and they sold off, the stock was crushed down and all those headlines are saying 42-year lows, 42-year lows. Well, if you're a value investor like me, you have to be thinking, wow, 42-year-old lows, maybe I need to be getting into that. Like, maybe this is a real juicy buying opportunity. And if I'm thinking that, wouldn't the insiders be thinking that? I mean, they're running the place. They know what's coming down the pike a quarter or two quarters down. They know their plan. They know their staff. They know what those numbers are looking like. They know what back to school is doing. They know about that renovated store or how well the Sephora's are doing in there. When they hear things like, oh, well, JCPenney's going under, all the malls are going to shut, it's only Amazon, do they laugh at it? Do they mock it? One way to know is if they bought in. That window usually opens up right after the earnings report when all the information gets out there to all the shareholders. That's when the insiders can buy. So I was waiting. Where are the insiders buying with any of these retailers? They all just reported earnings for the most part. So now is when the window is open. And if it's this cheap, if I'm looking at the dirt cheap stock, or I'm looking at Macy's with a PE of 6.3 and a 7% dividend yield, am I not buying in? Am I not getting in? So I took a look. And sure enough, JCPenney, yes, they finally did dive in there. The CEO went in the day after, I think it was, the earnings came out, or it was one or two days after. He made like a kind of smallish buy. I was actually kind of disappointed in it. It was only 100,000 shares and he has 2.8 million. You know, shares are at like $3.60. Like, really? That's all you're going to do is 100,000? But a couple other insiders also went in the next week to buy. So that does tell me more, because if it's just the CEO, that's in this scenario, 42-year lows, that's nothing. That's not even worth me looking at, because wouldn't everyone else? Where's the lawyers? Where's the HR person? Where's all the directors? Like, this is cheap if they think that they have a plan to turn the business around. So two directors bought and the CFO also bought. I like that. I like to see the cluster buys. Kind of still a little bit disappointed that more are not even buying at this level, but this is four insiders who bought right when it plunged down. So I do see that as real positive, because remember, if they think they're going under at least imminently, you know, you're not spending your own money. You're not putting your own money in there to only lose it. Like, no one cares about that director and what if they're putting their money in there. So this is a good sign for JCPenney. I also looked at Macy's and some insiders are buying there. So two insiders bought at Macy's in June when the shares got pretty cheap after that last earnings report. And then after they reported again, two more directors just bought in August. So I like that. Macy's is not at the 42-year low like some of, like JCPenney or, you know, some of these other ones that are pretty bad off, but it's still dirt cheap here. I like that these insiders are going in to buy and spending their own money. So Macy's and JCPenney. And then I looked at Bed Bath & Beyond. No one has bought there at all in 2017. And I looked at Pier 1, no one has bought there either, despite these huge drops and the cheapness of the stock. So what does that tell you? I'm not liking that. I'm not liking it that none of them think, oh, this is a good place to buy in. And, you know, I'm going to make money off of this. So I also expanded the screen a little bit because I didn't get that many stocks with it under 10. I expanded it to my normal 15 PE level, and I got 55 names, including some of the auto retailers again in there, pharmacies, furniture, we got some department stores. But I did get a couple other interesting ones. Sally Beauty is one of them. SBH is the ticker there. They are down 28% year to date, and they have a PE of just 10.3. And also, interestingly, the insiders have been buying there as well. They bought in May after the prior earnings, and now they just bought again in August. The CEO has been buying quite a bit both times, and then some directors as well. So that's also something interesting. Sally Beauty is kind of overlooked by investors in both Ulta and those who like Sephora, because it's a little bit different market. Even though it's all beauty, they have a big business in the professional side. So unless you're a professional hairstylist or even like a makeup artist in some cases, aren't familiar with Sally Beauty. But the stock is cheap and the insiders are buying there. And then I also looked at the Gap. It's trading at 11.3 times. It's been cheap for a while now. Those shares are actually up this year, 5%. There's a feeling that they might be turning it around here. Old Navy still performing pretty well for them, especially internationally. And Banana Republic, their flagship, seems to be turning around. Those same-store sales improving a bit there. They're not off as badly as they were only a year ago. So that's seen as improvement. But no insiders buying there, even though the dividend yield is almost 4%. Yeah, the shares are up 5%. Maybe they feel like it's not cheap enough, but 11 times you're getting the Gap, but no insiders buying there. So I do look at, you know, like I said, where the insiders are buying. Where are they putting their money at risk? Because the retailers are pretty risky here. I've been burned a few times. We can remember last year, Limited suddenly, or no, earlier this year, I guess it was, they suddenly up and closed all their stores. They weren't publicly traded. But literally, you know, oh, we're shutting this weekend, bye. And then they were gone from the malls. And they claimed they were going to run their online site, but so far that hasn't happened. So they just quickly disappeared after decades in business. So it can happen kind of quickly. I was burned a year or two ago buying some Quiksilver. Maybe you know them. They're a big kind of surfing retail outlet, big in California and along the coastal areas. They had over 300 stores, I think it was. So pretty big. They were bringing in management, always like with the turnaround. They had a lot of good brands, and the brand Quiksilver brand itself is good, also around a couple decades. But suddenly they, you know, had no profit and just had a lot of debt, and they went BK too pretty quickly. So I took a loss there, but, you know, no insiders buying there. So I do look for the insiders and where they're looking down the road, because it's their money at risk as well. So let's just recap those names where the insiders are buying. Macy's with ticker M, JCPenney, which is JCP, Sally Beauty, SBH. They're not buying at Gap, GPS, Bed Bath and Beyond, BBBY is that one, and Pier 1, PIR. All of these have cheap fundamentals right now. But remember, obviously, with these retailers, do your homework, go investigate their balance sheets, listen to their conference calls. That tells you a lot. And you might want to also just check out their websites, their stores. What kind of promotions are they doing? That was a sure sign at the Limited earlier this year and over the holiday season. They were doing 70% off. And I even commented on it here in Zach's office. Like, what? You know, Limited's doing 70% sales. Well, okay, good luck. And sure enough, yeah, they went under only, a month or two later. So be sure to watch all of these signs. And always, you know, value investing can be fun, but a little risky in some of these areas. So definitely be sure to check in on those fundamentals. And as I said, be sure to check out the other two podcasts with these beaten down sectors, which is the restaurants and the insiders buying at the oil EMPs. I covered 17 different oil EMPs on that podcast. So be sure to check there. So we can't complain that there's no value out there in the market right now. There is. It might not be value you want to be in. That's the thing with value investing. We have to go where it's beaten down a lot of times, but that makes it always interesting. We can find those diamonds in the rough and those stocks where everybody's hating on them on Stock Twits, but there's still some value there. So be sure to tune in, and I'll be back again next week with some more value stocks.